Midtown Manhattan, New York City, to the world. Tom Sullivan is on now.
Yes, now is the word. Here we are. Welcome to the big radio show on this Tuesday, the 24th day of April, 2018. My name is Tom Sullivan. Speaking of doing bios and backgrounds on on people, yesterday we had the breaking news out of Toronto. That turned out to be the guy that ran down the people on the sidewalk. 10 dead, 15 injured. So this is, we now know the guy's name. I'm only going to give it once because a lot of people send me notes about what kind of name, what kind of name. They're looking for a Middle Eastern name. This guy's name is Alex Manassian. I don't know his ethnicity, but he was born and raised in Toronto. He's a Canadian. He's 25 years of age. Made a court appearance earlier this morning in Toronto. From his social networking sites, he has been attending Seneca College in the suburbs north of North Fork, of a suburb of Toronto. Says from 2011 to 2018. I don't know. You know, it's from some social website, LinkedIn, I believe it is. So I don't know if he's been going there for 7 years or what, but they say that's his social media says he attends this Seneca College, and that he lives with his father. And his Facebook page, Facebook shut it down, but before they did, this gives us a little insight into what was behind this guy's motive to mow these people down. He referred to the Supreme Gentleman, Elliot Rodger. And you go, who's Elliot Rodger? Elliot Rodger was the guy who did a deadly rampage that left 6 people dead and a dozen people wounded in by Santa Barbara, but the college there, Santa Barbara, University of California at Santa Barbara. I believe he was going around shooting people. Now, he didn't mow them down. But somehow this guy from Toronto referred to him as the Supreme Gentleman, Elliot Rodger. So he admired him. And in Elliot Rodger's previous postings that he had, going back to 2014 when he did this attack, he was talking about the number of women who turned down his advances, and he rendered himself an incel. And apparently incel is a term used by some men to mean involuntarily celibate. In other words, I can't get a girlfriend. That was Elliot Rodgers' beef, and this guy is looking up to Elliot Rodger. And Rodger had referred to men who were successful with women as Chads and women who turned men down as Stacys. So on this Toronto guy's Facebook page, there was a line that said that the incel rebellion has already begun. We will overthrow all the Chads and the Stacys. So he was copying the words out of this guy from Santa Barbara that killed all those people there back in 2014. So this guy, that's what we got. That's what we got. We don't know. He grew up, like I said, in a Toronto neighborhood. Some of his former classmates were interviewed. One guy said, I'm not sure if he had any very, very close friends, at least publicly. I never saw him with a group of friends. But whenever he would see him in the hallways, would always speak to him or he would say hi or whatnot. He doesn't seem to have a core group of friends and remembers him being mostly sort of in the background. Walking down the hallway by himself, sitting in the cafeteria by himself. So that's it. That's all we know about this guy. So from that, it does not appear to be an Islamic jihadist type of operation. He copied some of the Islamic jihadis' moves of getting a rental van and driving over people. That's a copycat. He copied the words from this guy who shot up a bunch of people in Santa Barbara 4 years ago. So you go, well, what is he? Is he a jihadi? Is he? It doesn't look like it, but maybe because of the fact that he copied almost verbatim exactly what, you know, go out, rent a van, drive the van down the street, mowing down all kinds of people. So was he trying to emulate being a jihadi? But apparently his social media did not have any references to anything about ISIS, any of that that anybody knows at this point. More may come out later, but so it's a puzzle. I would take a wild guess at this point, pure speculation, that the guy is just mentally disturbed. And he borrows from mentally disturbed people things that he acts out. So that's all we got on that guy. No idea. Speaking of social media, I've got a couple different stories here about more on Amazon, more on your privacy, more on Facebook, on their once secret list is now out about what can get you banned. Americans, by and large, do not trust tech companies about data privacy. And much to my surprise, 83% said we need tougher regulations and penalties for breaches of data privacy. 83% of us don't agree on anything. But apparently you think, okay, we need regulations. Yep, that's what we need. We need regulations. 67% support major online privacy and security legislation. 65% support the Honest Ads Act, requiring political advertisements on social media to list who paid for them, just like they do on television and radio and print. 59% say they support the under 16 Privacy Bill of Rights to ensure that kids under 16 have the right to have their online data permanently deleted. 53% believe large technology companies should be regulated by the federal government the way that big banks are. So they go down through this whole list. Oh, yeah, we need regulation. I mean, this is a... I'm giving you the majorities here. Majority of people are all for laws and regulations to crack down on these companies that you give your information to. But the best answer I like out of all of this is, but only 38% think, well, they think the federal government is not capable of regulating large tech companies, while 31% say it is capable. So a minority of you, one in three, thinks, yeah, they can do it. Another one in three says, no, they can't. But by golly, you want some regulations. And that says something to me about where we are. And I guess when they're doing surveys of people that are using social media, I presume that they're trying to get a good cross-section of ages. But I don't know. Millennials, 44% of millennials say yes, large tech companies should be regulated the way banks are. 37% of millennials say it doesn't make any difference. Okay? Then you get to Gen X. We're getting up to a little bit older. you 30, 40-year-olds, 30, 40, 50-year-olds. 47% of you want regulations on tech companies just like the big banks. 31% of you say it doesn't make any difference. Then you get to the baby boomers. The rebellious baby boomers, the boomers who rebelled against society, rebelled, changed the culture. 62% of baby boomers want large tech companies regulated the way big banks are. I am embarrassed to be a baby boomer. What are you people thinking? 62% of you, I thought you were the crusty older people that were out there going, ah, the government, I'll tell you, the government is allowed out to, but 62% of you think, oh yeah, they should regulate them. Only 20% of you think it will make no difference. So this is, I think, rather shocking about social media and your information that you give to them. Nobody stole it from you. You gave it to them. 58% of the people surveyed say that Facebook and other social media will, Congress is going to regulate them whether they want it or not. So the question is, who has more of your personal data, Facebook or Google? Who do you think has more of your personal data? Now, Facebook just got run through the ringer at Congress, and Zuckerberg sat there and was well-rehearsed and did his job of, yes, we're very concerned. Yes, Senator, that's very concerning to us, too. Why isn't Google in there? Because Google far outweighs Facebook when it comes to having your personal information. Nobody's even talking about Google. Why? Because you don't have to join Facebook, but you pretty much have to use Google. You don't have to. You want to regulate tech like big banks? The phone number is 855-295-6600. And I'll tell you what Amazon wants to do to you next.
Connect and engage with Tom Sullivan. On air, online, on demand.
So I can regale you with the whole story about how Google gets your information, how much they have. They are much, 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 much bigger than Facebook. And yet nobody is bringing up a thing. Nobody's dragging the Google guys back to Washington. But man alive, do they have information on billions of people around the world. So then you go to Amazon. And I don't know where this is going, but if they're building it, you know they're serious about this being in your future and mine. And that is story out of Bloomberg that Amazon has a top secret plan to build home robots. Now, I don't know if you saw the story a couple of days ago. Very cutesy type story about the fact that they have a robot that was given the job of assembling some piece of IKEA furniture. I don't know what it was, a table, bookshelves, I'm not quite sure. But for anybody who's ever bought anything at IKEA and you have to bring it home and put it together, it's a lot of work and you got to make sure and put, you know, flap A into flap B, and it you got to read the instructions in order to put the thing together. Well, they got a robot who figures the whole thing out and takes the raw box of whatever they were building, and they built it. The robot built it. So that was more than just a cutesy story, because that means that the robot is figuring out things and thinking about things and using intelligence to some level. to go that route. So now we have this story about Amazon has a top secret plan to build home robots. And that reminds me of the robot that built the IKEA piece of furniture. And so will you, 10 years down the road, have a robot at home that does, you know, stuff? Now, they've been in sci-fi movies for as long as, you know, these goofy robots with blinking lights and all that sort of stuff, and they're in the kitchen and they're banging into things and falling over. And no, I mean, this, if it can build a piece of furniture from IKEA, then what else can they do at home? Now, I have to tell you, I bought this robot vacuum. I thought it was going to be genius. And my wife does not like it. She does not like this thing. Give me the regular vacuum. I'll take care of it. But this robot vacuum, I love it. It goes around. I mean, you put it in a bedroom, it goes under the beds and makes sure everything is spotless. It's great. Charge it up and away it goes. It knows where everything, it bounces around the corners and goes real close to all the legs of the bed and everything else and legs of the furniture. And when it starts getting low on its charge, it finds its way back to the charging station and plugs itself back in. Now, you got to go and hit the button for it once it's charged to go back out and start cleaning again. So we've got a robot vacuum. I should say I do. My wife can't stand the thing. So they want to build this vacuum. And 4 years ago, Bezos rolled out the Echo. That's how long it's been around. So that millions of people are now talking to a computer. And you're using Amazon's retail and cloud computing to go through this. But they are now talking about building a domestic robot, codenamed Vesta, after the Roman goddess of the hearth, home, and family. Development division is based in Sunnyvale, California. The division is called Lab 126. They're the ones who came up with the Echo speakers, with the first with the Fire TV set-top boxes, with Fire tablets. The Vesta project originated a few years ago, but now they're aggressively ramping it up, and they are hiring software engineer, robotics, and principal sensor engineers right and left at Amazon. I'll give you the rest of the story when we come back. You want a robot in your house? We'll be right back.
Prime time, all the time, with Tom Sullivan.
Yes, it is. Happy Tuesday to you on this prime time. Welcome to the program. Talking about technology coming into your home, every tech company out there, they know more about you than you can possibly imagine. But Amazon does not collect data, search data, or mobile data like Google and Facebook. So they have to get the information about social information about people a different way. And that's why they are trying to get into our homes. And that is why they came up with Alexa and Echo and all of those things that are in your home. That's why they are talking about building robots to get into your home. They've got Amazon Key, which allows the Amazon delivery person to open the front door of your home, put the package in your home, and then close the door and lock it. The idea being that it will keep porch pirates away from your packages, but they can also look around your home. And this robot in your home, well, they will get to know more about you. They live in your house. They need to know the square footage. They need to know, you know, the floor plan so they can move around. And that gives them more information about who you are. Do you live in a big house or do you live in a small house? What part of town do you live in? Nice area, bad area? If you're in a nice area, big house, will you spend more? If the robot has cameras, they might look at your sofa and say, hey, you need a new sofa. Or look at your windows and go, you need new windows. So that gets them into your house to know more about you because they don't get it any other way. They Amazon wants in your house. And I'll tell you in a second, they also want in your car. But let me get Dave in here before we continue. Dave in San Francisco. Hi, Dave. Welcome. You're on the Tom Sullivan Show.
Hello. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. What do you make of this? Yes.
Regarding the IKEA robot assembling the product, it did not do intelligent thinking. What they did was they programmed in through the programmers and engineers, and it simply assembled it following written instruction. It just didn't open up a box, unseen item, and put together. That's something public doesn't realize and wasn't told. It was following written instructions by the programmers. Now, the next thing they're getting ready to do is, a jigsaw puzzle. And the way they're doing that is it will take a cube and measure the curves and then try to assemble the curves. But the programmers are the ones who have to program the instructions for the robot to recognize, you know, 30-degree angle here, match 30-degree angle here, put A to B, you know. So it's not doing any thinking. It's following written instructions.
But you're describing programming. That's what coding is. Every a million, billion lines of instruction. I mean, otherwise, it's just garbage in, garbage out. I mean, they have to have everything you do has already been programmed by some human. And that's where they're getting to the point about artificial intelligence, letting the artificial intelligence open the box and take a look at it, find the instructions from IKEA, and read it themselves, and then put it together.
Right, but that's not what's happening. It's, you know, that was already done by the humans, and then the humans are simply coding that in. So, you know, if you can look at anything, but for an unseen product, we haven't gotten that far yet.
No, but when you click on an address on a Google map, that's all been programmed how to find that address. So, Amazon wants in your house. That's what it comes down to here, Dave. They want in your house. You going to let them in your house?
No.
Do you have Alexa?
But at some point in time, we're all going to be forced to if you want the convenience of that service or product. You'll have no choice.
Right.
I like it.
What do you think about the idea of giving Amazon the key to your house?
I wouldn't do it. But if I need a product or a service, they're going to force me to give that key up, or I don't get the product or the service.
Yeah, I mean, apparently it costs $200. It attaches to your front door. The driver then has the code. Puts in the code, you get a notice that your door is the Amazon delivery person is opening your door and is entering your house. It tells you when the Amazon delivery person left your house. So, you know, they didn't sit down and have lunch. Thank you. You know that they went in and they went out, but they got in. And the next place they're going is into your car, and I'll explain that in just a minute. But, It seems you
have that already with OnStar.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. No, but this is where they're going to deliver packages to your car. So you're at work. Nobody's at home. You've got a package coming. They notify you and say, hey, on Tuesday, the 24th of April, you're getting a package delivered. It will come between 2 and 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And it knows where your car is, and it will allow the delivery guy to open your car, put the package in your car or your trunk, and then lock your car back up again. That way they can deliver and move on.
But that too would be very scary, because a hacker would have access to who knows what, unlock the door.
Yep.
You know, go somewhere, and you would have no knowledge of the happening until you discover it later.
Same with your front door on your house. Somebody's going to figure that out and go, I'm going to go into Dave's house and steal stuff.
A safeguard would be information that Google or Amazon or whoever has, make that information available to you. So if it's coming to my house or going to be delivered and it's done or prior to, I have all that information strictly between me and Amazon or whoever. Let that information be shared with you so that there be no secrets, because every activity, what they have, I have access to also.
Yeah. Getting to be...
you can't hide nothing.
Getting to be big brother.
On their end.
You know, 1984 was just a few years too early. This is Big Brother on steroids. It really is. So you're not going to let somebody have a key to your house or your car.
Who's not going to?
You. Are you going to allow? You're not going to allow it.
True, but then if I did allow it, whatever information they gathered, saw, or I have access to what you have also, then I can say, "Hey, you was not allowed to do that. I didn't authorize that, or I don't want that in the future." You know, block that off.
Yeah, that's what they're.
You have control. You have control.
But that's the argument today. Everybody's going, but we don't have control. Facebook has control. They just got, you know, run over the coals in Washington because of the fact that they got lots of information on you, and they're using it. And most people can go look at it and won't do a thing about it, going, okay, so they got all this information. They know how old I am, where I was born, where I went to school, who I'm married to, where I live, where I work. They got all that.
And give the end user an option to delete that if that person wished to have that deleted. Of course, they will never do that, because then that minimizes the effectiveness of what they're trying to do.
That's their business plan. Yeah. That's how they make their money. All right. Hey, Dave, thank you. I appreciate your call. Would you let Amazon in your front door? Would you let them deliver packages to your car? Unlock it and lock it. 855-295-6600.
The real world and you meet here. You're listening to Tom Sullivan.
So this new in-car delivery service was just announced today by Amazon. They're joining together in a partnership with General Motors and Volvo. They're going to start in-car deliveries, giving couriers access to millions of vehicles in 37 U.S. markets. All part of the idea to get consumers comfortable with the idea of strangers entering your home or your car. And this new delivery option is free for Amazon Prime members who own certain newer General Motors and Volvo cars. Customer downloads the Amazon Key app, links their Amazon account with a connected car service such as OnStar. Delivery driver unlocks the car, puts the package in your car, and remotely locks it again. And you're supposed to park in a publicly accessible area like a driveway, a street, or a surface level of a parking lot. They got 100 million members that are Prime members. How many of the 100 million are going to say, yeah, that's... are you good with somebody entering your car? 855-295-6600. Jim in California. Hi, Jim.
Hey, Tom. How are you?
I'm doing great. You want people coming into your place?
No, and I'll tell you why. Because you put a package into my car.
Yeah.
What's the difference between the guy? What's the difference between the guy following the UPS guy to the house and watching him deliver it, or watching him deliver it into my car? Then he walks over, smacks the window, takes the package, and walks away. My insurance company's not going to cover that package in my car.
I don't know. I think these porch pirates are brazen enough to pick a package up off your porch. I don't know if they would break into your house or your car.
No, I'm not talking about your house. My daughter has left things in her car and walked out at work, and they're gone. Somebody shattered her side window, and
yeah,
they're gone.
Yeah.
You know?
Easy to do. It's super simple to do. I've seen how they do it. I don't want to give away the secrets, but you can do it to where if you were standing 10 feet away, you would not hear the glass shatter.
Not at all. And I know exactly how to do it, Tom. So
yep.
I did it once to get a dog out of a car.
Ah.
But my statement to the whole thing is, if you're going to have all these packages delivered to your house,
yeah,
just get a mailbox at your house that is capable of accepting packages. They have them now, where you put the package in, you pull the little handle, just like at the post office, you pull it down, it drops the package in, it's locked. And they could do big size packages. It's ridiculous
to
think
where do you put this ugly box? where is that
Home
thing?
Home Depot. They've got them at Home Depot.
I can't imagine having a big old ugly box in front of my house.
Actually, Tom, I have one, and it's not a big old ugly box. It's a beautiful white box, and all I did was dig a little hole, put a post in, and it's right behind a plant at my front, right behind a plant at my front door.
Oh.
And the only people that's got it is me.
You put it in the garden.
So, yeah, exactly. It's right in the front of the house, right where your mailbox normally is.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to stand out there on the street and beat the tar out of a mailbox that you
brought
out. You know?
How much
and
do those things...
this thing's metal. It's not going anywhere.
How much does that thing cost?
It costs $98.
So...
$98 versus some guy coming in your house going, hey, look at that thing over there. I think I'll take
it.
Boom,
and so I can open it and put something in it, and when I close it, it's locked. I can't get back into it. Is that right?
When you put it in there... When you look down the hand, you ever done that at the post office? Walked in there, pulled the little handle down, put the thing in, and it disappears. It's the same setup. They put it in there, and once they close the handle, it drops down into the box on the bottom.
Huh?
And it'll handle this. The one I have will handle a 12x12 box.
Wow.
12x12x12.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking at this too, and I'm going, I know Amazon's got a lot of money. And I know that they are, you know, on the brave frontier of trying to change the way we do things. And they have been very successful at that, about clicking and pointing instead of going down to the local store. But I'm with you. I don't know about people saying, yeah, you can come in my house or my car.
No, not going to happen. I have a hard time with workers coming to my house, and I'm there.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of these people are elderly people or single women getting this stuff delivered to their house. You know, got a real problem with that. Sorry. I don't care.
Well, okay. All right. So
watch that door.
So you and I have our little leery about this whole thing, but there's 100 million members of Prime. Out of that 100 million, you know, Jeff Bezos is going, I'll get 35 million.
I bet I could get 75. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I think he'll get about at least half to say, sure, I don't have a problem with that.
Yeah.
You know? I think you're right. You know, half of them are going to go, sure, go ahead. But I'm old school. I'm 60 years old. You're not coming in my house.
No, I'm older school than you, man. I don't want Alexa. I don't want any of that stuff. It's like, no, my home is my castle. It's private.
Yes. Stay out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Jim. I appreciate the call. Trendon in California. Hi, Trendon.
Hey, Tom. How are you doing today?
Doing great. You want a robot in your house?
Nope, not at all. And it's funny you brought up the subject, because a thought actually occurred to me. So say 10, 15 years later, the robot, you know, pretty advanced at cleaning, you know, in your home. And say if maybe one accidentally or purposely hurt your dog or your kids, and it becomes a big thing, and the government decides to regulate the thing. Now you have government robots or some type of regulation in your household.
A robot with a government license.
I'm sure everybody's seen iRobot by now.
Brendan, I'm telling you, I went out and bought this robotic vacuum thing, and I was reading about, because, you know, you've been seeing these things in movies since you were a kid about these robots that were going to come out. And a lot of companies have invested money in robots. The only one that has sold at all is the robot vacuum that I have. They've sold 20 million of those things. So, I like it,
yeah,
but my wife can't stand it.
I would probably buy that.
Yeah,
I would buy that. Anything,
yes.
Maybe with limbs or just, or I don't know. I would say no.
If it's got cameras on it so it can see what's going on and starts looking around and says, you need new windows. We just happen to have the name of a window contractor here for you that's all tied in with Amazon. Amazon Windows.
Yes. No,
it's endless.
That one.
No, I know. It's totally endless. Hey, Trendon, thank you. I appreciate the call. He doesn't want robots in his house, especially government robots. I think this is, they're going to keep working on this until people get used to it. And they're assuming there will be millions of people that will. The future, folks.